In the gospel reading today, we hear the mother of James and John asking Jesus that her sons would be able to sit one at his right and one at his left in his kingdom. The interesting thing is, another place, and as we even heard in one of the antiphons, Jesus said that the 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. And yet at the same time, it is not for them necessarily to have the top spots. And the reason, Jesus says, is because it belongs to those from whom it has been prepared by my Father. So now if we take that a step further, we ask our question, how? Well, first of all, we recognize that the person who loves the most is the one who has the highest position in heaven. So sitting at the right hand of our Lord Jesus is going to be his mother. There's no one who loves more. She's the Queen Mother. The church has already spoken on that fact. And so we know that. Who gets to sit at the other side? Well, we'll find out when we get there. More than likely, it's probably not going to be one of us. It'd be nice if it was, but more than likely it won't. So we'll get to see who's sitting there. We're probably not going to be seen sitting there. But that's beside the point. The question still remains, how? Remember what St. Peter said, that the more that we share in the suffering of Christ, the more we will share in his glory. Isn't that exactly what our Lord just said? Can you drink the cup of which I am to drink? And of course, just like James and John, we'll all be very quick to say, I can, no problem. Yeah, until he gives us the cup to drink and we choke on it and it's sour and we don't like it. The cup is the suffering. And the only way that we're going to grow in love is through suffering. Now we look at that and go, oh, no. You know, I remember when I was a teenage kid and I saw this person, I was in love and there was no suffering. Right, and there was no love either. There was emotions, there was no real love. For those of you who are married, you can look at your marriage, you can look at your children. There's nobody who's made you suffer more other than your own self. And yet, there's nobody that you love more. And you recognize that correlation. But it's not the suffering that makes us love. It's the suffering that proves the love. And the suffering purifies us to be able to love more. The way that works is that the suffering strips us of our selfishness. When you're suffering for and because of another person, and you can continue to try to love that person, to continue to try to serve that person, to continue to put that person before yourself, that's where everything in us, which when somebody makes us suffer, we want to pull in, we want to protect ourselves, we want to put ourselves first, when we can say, no, I'm going to continue to try to love this person, even though it's very difficult, even though it's painful, even though this person is the cause of my suffering right now, I'm going to continue to try to love that person to the best of my ability. That's how we grow in love. And that's where, again, the love is proven. Again, you will know as you look at friendships, as you look at relationships, of whatever they are, as we've talked about many times, you're going to have lots of fair weather friends. If you've got a whole bunch of money, you're good looking, you've got a gregarious personality, oh my goodness, you're going to have hundreds of friends because of what they can get from you. They're not real friends. But it's only when all that is taken away, when you're made to suffer, you start finding out, this person was loyal to me, this person was faithful, this person continued even in the midst of the suffering. That's a real friend. The rest of them, where are they? well, as long as Good Time Charlie's not around anymore, they're gone. Because they just wanted the fun and the excitement and the money and whatever else they could get. They didn't want you. They weren't interested in you as a person. They were just interested in what they could get from you. That, again, is where we recognize that love is proven only in suffering. Someone can give you all the lip service in the world. Oh, I'm so in love with you. Right. Until all of a sudden it's not so fun and exciting. That's when you find out how much they really love you. Tragically, for a lot of us, we find out that a lot of people don't really love us very much. Some people love us more, but still not entirely, and they take off halfway through the suffering. There are a few, very few, but a few, who will continue on to the end. That's what Jesus is looking for from us. As he looks at us, the question is, do you love me? And of course, we're going to say, yes, I love you. I wouldn't be here at Mass if I didn't love you. Okay, can you drink of the cup of which I'm going to drink? Are you willing to share in the cross? Are you willing to take that up? And yeah, of course, yeah, we'll kind of begrudgingly say yes. And okay, he let me have a hangnail. Okay, I can tolerate that. But now I stub my toe and I have a hangnail. I don't know, this is getting a little tough. And now somebody doesn't like me. Forget it. I've had enough. I don't want any more. How quickly our generosity goes to the side. And so he will just give you what you can handle and then push it a little further. And then when you can learn to handle that, he'll push it a little further, and then he'll push it a little further. Not because he doesn't know whether or not you love him or how much, but because we don't know how much we love him. Oh, we think we love him a whole lot until we find out when the suffering comes how much we really do or really don't, as the case may be. That's why he allows it, because it purifies us. It allows us to love more. And if we can love him more, then we can love the people around us more. And isn't that, again, exactly what he commanded us? So that's what this is all about. Asking the apostles if they can drink from the chalice that he's going to drink, and tells them, you will. And they did. They were willing to die for him. I mean, when we struggle with a hangnail, how are we ever going to be a martyr if that's what he asks us? So he has to build that up. So continue to grow in love. Continue to love him. Tell him how much you love him. Grow in love with him. And recognize that if that's what you're doing and that's what you truly want, he's going to give you the opportunity to improve, to continue to grow, to perfect it. Because that's what it's really all about. To have the most love that we can possibly have. That's exactly what Our Lady did, which is why she is seated at the right hand of her Son as the Queen Mother. And what a wonderful blessing it would be if the other side is reserved for you.